I be playing. Good morning and welcome again to Skybox here on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm Mark Mayfield, editorial advisor in the Office of Student Media here at UA. And with me is co-host Andrew Deere, coordinator of informal recreation here at the university. Our third host, Dr. Adam Sterrett, is away today, but he'll be back with us next Saturday. It's a big weekend of college football, including the Crimson Tide's first home game of the season here at Bryant-Denny Stadium this afternoon. Against the Fresno State Bulldogs. But, you know, we've also this week got today got a lot of intriguing matchups around the country, some truly huge games, and we're going to be talking about those in just a few minutes. Andrew and I will be joined also in a few minutes by Dr. Chris Roberts, Associate Professor of Journalism and Creative Media here at the university. Chris is... got his doctorate at South Carolina, so we'll talk about that. He also, I think, went 2 years to Jacksonville State University and 4 years here, including a master's here as well, and is one of the best, most respected professors on campus. He's also chairman of the Media Planning Board, and so we work with him very, very closely here, and he'll join us in just a while. But first, Andrew, we got some great games today.
Yeah, very exciting to be here in the Skybox today. Campus is buzzing. Really, you know, the week leading up to the first home game is always really exciting to be on campus. It's one of the many perks of working at a university like UA. You know, last week's game was really fun and exciting. It was great to get a win against, you know, a top five team in Florida State. We got to see kind of what Alabama was made on, what they're made of really early in the season. So, pretty exciting stuff here. Ton of good games, you know, some SEC, ACC matchups, some really exciting Conference USA, SEC matchups. As you know, I'm looking forward to. So, really, really big week. I'm just excited and giddy that football is back, and especially it's back here in Tuscaloosa for sure.
Yeah, me too. It's just there's nothing like it. You know, there's nothing like this campus in the fall with home games and the buzz around and everybody's upbeat and. It's just a great atmosphere, and it seems like it gets better every year. The university grows a little bit more every year. I enjoy watching. There's so many out-of-state students now here, and watching them really get involved, you know, in terms of the buzz of Alabama football, and they pick up on it real quickly and become a huge part of everything we do here.
No doubt. Mark, what are your initial thoughts from last week's game? Just a quick wrap up, you know, going forward with the season.
Yeah, it was a long weekend of college football, you know, and I think there were some tough picks, some really crazy games. That Texas A&M at UCLA, I mean, I've never seen anything like that.
It's incredible,
wasn't
it?
They had a 34-point lead, I think a 31-point lead going into the fourth quarter, or maybe all 34-point lead, and then lost it. It's still hard to believe they could lose that.
You grabbed that UCLA win out of the clutches of defeat there
at the end of the game. Yeah,
we were talking off air about how you had forgotten that you picked that game.
And right.
It was really just exciting to watch Josh Rosen and, you know, the Bruins come back and beat A&M.
Yeah.
Sumlin, you know, on the hot seat going into this season, obviously that warms up his seat even more.
Yeah.
There's never a dull moment in the SEC.
Yeah, no doubt. And then, of course, you know, the Bama at Florida State was, for our perspective, a great game.
Absolutely.
You know, Adam, I know, you know, a Florida State alum, but of course works here in student life, and I know that was a tough game for him. He'll be back with us next week, and we'll talk. We'll have to talk to him a little bit about it, but. That was in a way it's a win-win because he's a Bama fan as well,
right?
But I know also his heart is also with Florida State, so that had to be tough for him. But that was a great game defensively for Alabama. Some offensive problems for Alabama, but they were going up against a great defense.
Absolutely, I think one of the funnest things about watching that game, really with both teams, was the way that the defenses performed. Both defenses attacked, ran downhill, and there really weren't many missed tackles on each side. And when you watch that good, clean football on the defensive side, it really honestly is impressive, and it's fun to watch.
Yeah.
Like I said, Alabama has some adjustments to make on offense. It's game one against one of the best defenses in America, so you kind of got to take that with a grain of salt.
Right.
But really, the defensive prowess from both teams is what stood out. I was texting my brother-in-law about how neither team don't miss tackles.
They don't miss tackles. You're right.
Blocks and don't miss tackles. And that brand of football is what Nick Saban, you know, has built here at UA, and is what continues to be exciting to watch.
Yeah, it was. That was really two elite teams going at each other.
Right.
And I did hate with Francois, you know, the injury to their quarterback.
Right.
Hate to see that, particularly because it came in the last 5 minutes of the game. It was a good clean hit. Nothing dirty about that at all. That's just football. But really hated to see that for them, because it is going to affect their season, losing him. But I hope Florida State bounces back. And with that defense Florida State has, they're going to be in every football game they play.
No doubt about it. No doubt. Like you said, super unfortunate what happened to Francois, especially coming into this game. A lot of experts were saying, you know, whoever loses this game still has a shot at the college football playoff. Without Florida State's starting quarterback, it really, you know, it's even harder road that they have to climb going forward. But like you said, that defense is going to keep them in a lot of games and probably win them a lot of games
this season.
So
yeah,
should be interesting to see going forward.
And Jimbo will have the quarterback. You know, he'll have the new quarterback getting reps and improving. He's a really great offensive coach. So
no doubt,
we'll see how it does.
So, Mark, what games that we have on the list here, what games really stand out to you? What are you most excited about this
week?
Yeah,
I tell you, the huge one up in Columbus with Oklahoma at Ohio State today. That is a really – that has huge implications nationally for both of those teams. And then also Auburn has a huge game over at Clemson. There's some really major games here that are going to affect the top rankings right off the bat here.
Right. You know? So last week we saw Alabama, FSU, and really that was the really only major
yeah.
marquee game last week. But
right.
this week we have Oklahoma at Ohio State. We've got Auburn at Clemson. You know, Georgia and Notre Dame
right.
is an exciting game to look at. It's really exciting to see a SEC team go to Notre Dame that, you know, they just don't play often. I don't
right.
know when the last time those teams played.
Right.
But there's a lot of exciting stuff going on.
Right.
One that we didn't mention earlier was Stanford at USC.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's always a great Pac-12 game, and that obviously has implications within the Pac-12.
It does.
Very early in the season.
Yeah, so. It does. It does for their – you know, both of those teams would be favorites for the Pac-12 title, really, if you think about it. Particularly with Oregon being down last year, although Oregon, we don't know this year. But USC is supposed to be resurgent now with Sam Darnold. Stanford's got a really good football team. So, yeah, that's a huge game. That is, and it's interesting, isn't it, that these big, big games are coming. It seems like earlier than usual. I mean, these are major
Yeah, it's fun. I think last year week two was abysmal, if I remember
yeah,
correctly.
Yeah. We
really,
talked about it.
We struggled picking games for week two, and now there are four or five games that you want to sit down and watch every second of.
Yeah.
So that's really fun. Even the ACC matchup, Louisville and UNC. A lot of really early, you know, conference
yeah.
matchups. Louisville at UNC, South Carolina at Missouri. You know, not the best football games in the world, but
competitive and
conference right. implications very, very early.
That so. Pittsburgh at Penn State, didn't they quit playing for a while? And now, you know, this is a big rivalry
yeah, it's
game
back,
there.
For sure.
So that's a big game in that part of the country. And obviously yeah. Penn State has a chance to be an elite team this year and one of the – they're highly ranked, so
yeah.
it's going to be interesting.
James Franklin finally has, which we knew, if you can win at Vanderbilt, you can definitely
right.
win at Penn State. So he's got that thing rolling that you've got one of the best running backs in America. And Pittsburgh is never a slouch.
No, never
so
a slouch. They'll be in that game.
They will definitely be in that game as well.
Yeah, so it's a big day, and obviously here with Bama and Fresno State, we're going to – well, we'll talk much more about that here later in the show, but it's the first home game for Bama, and I think if Bama plays up to the strength, then we should see a lot of people playing for that team. They should get a lot of the new players in today, hopefully.
Absolutely, one of the things where you go back to the go back to square one, work on fundamentals, technique, definitely one of those games this week.
Yeah.
So you're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. We've got Dr. Chris Roberts coming up in the next segment, so stay with us and we'll be back.
Roll time.
Hi, I'm Sarah Patterson, and you're listening to the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. It's a great pleasure to have with us Dr. Chris Roberts from the School of College of Communication and Information Sciences, and Associate Professor of Journalism and Creative Media, and Chairman of the Media Planning Board. Chris, thanks for joining us.
It is a pleasure to be here. This brings back happy memories of being in radio in high school and college. And I have a big old head cold, so that always brings back memories as well.
Always great to have a cold, you know, on a football Saturday, right? Yeah. Well, it's good to have you. I think, obviously, here in student media, most of our students you deal with at some point. You know, you see them, teach them, that kind of thing. But how's everything going at the school, and from where you stand, how's it look?
It's wonderful. I was watching the game Saturday night and thought, hey, that's a former student of mine who blocked that punt. Oh. That's a former student of mine who stripped that ball out. Yeah, that's a former student of mine who scored that touchdown. It's kind of nice sometimes. Now, they don't get perfect grades or any sort of things different from others that any other student gets. And I shouldn't talk more about this for a fancy word, FERPA, Federal
right,
Education
right.
Records Privacy Act. But yeah. I have plenty of former students who are playing in the NFL or do other amazing things.
Yeah. I wonder on, like, Fridays, you know, in classes, do they show up? Or are they ready for the football weekend? I would assume that if Friday, like the, you know, the before a home weekend like we have this week, they kind of, you know, they'll clear out maybe, you know,
well,
or party.
The university does an excellent job of support for athletics
right.
and athletes here. And they have every opportunity to excel on the field and off the field in the classroom. I have not taught students on a Friday in a long time because that's a research and meetings day for me. But having said that, a couple of years ago I did, and absolutely they were in class except a couple of times when they played an early game on the road. And I appreciate
right.
that, so we make sure that they can see the, you know, we record the lectures for the big old class, so they have
yeah.
every opportunity.
Yeah. How about just in terms of your teaching and the number of journalism students and that kind of thing? Has there been, I mean, I'm over there quite a bit, you know, but has there been a downturn in the number of journalism students, or is it the same? Is it more, actually?
There are actually more in many places. The journalism department merged a year or so ago with the college, with the Department of Telecommunication and Film. We are now journalism and creative media.
Right.
And the good thing is that our journalism students, who we think about as traditional print students, are now able to do more things in video. And the traditional broadcast students can do more things with print. Everybody does the web. We've got terrific student media here. We own a television station, does the University of Alabama, one of two in America. University of Missouri is the other that has a commercial station. So everybody has possibilities of working there. And the merger seems to be going swimmingly and an incredible sports focus.
Yeah, I think Elizabeth Elkin, who's the editor, our student editor-in-chief of the Crimson White, and one of your students in journalism, works also at the TV station. And, you know, she's a writer, and I think that her background is reporting and writing, and she's getting pretty good at this. And but she's also getting this film, this video production work now.
Yes,
with television station.
And she ought to be in California today to pick up an award from the National Society of Professional
right.
Journalists for something that she wrote that beat all the other college students in America.
Right, absolutely.
That's
it's for in-depth reporting nationally in SPJ,
right.
First place.
With the merger between print and, you know, media and other things, is that a national trend, or is that something that UA's on the front end, or how do you see that with the
We
research?
We are where we need to be with
right.
that. I mean, the internet is what in more than 20 years old
right.
for the first chance that you got that you've ever seen it.
Right.
I'm the last of the people who grew up never having internet until I got to be a grown-up. these students have never remember a time when they didn't have high-speed internet access. I can't make AOL jokes anymore in class because they never got they never got those CDs
America
in the
Online.
Mail. Yeah,
the rolling ball and the dial-in.
Yeah. Roughing it to them is not having high-speed internet on their phones.
Right.
And so the mindset is different. So we are. I am teaching using Twitter. I am all over. They don't use Facebook so much because their mamas and daddies and grandpas are on Facebook. But we're all over the place in social media. And our students have to be able to be able to write those long stories, to shoot that long video, but also be just as good at 140 characters.
Yeah, that's incredible. And they are good at that, you know. But, you know, the social media thing is interesting because, I mean, we deal with it. The Crimson White has over 59,000 followers now on Twitter, one of the highest for a college newspaper. But the impact of that's pretty amazing. You know, when they tweet something, I, as their advisor, I sometimes think they don't tweet enough, but they know that. But it's the power of social media is something, you know, for my generation, it's completely new in terms of journalism and even how to news gather and those kinds of things using social media.
And it's not just for the journalism part of this, but I was teaching the other day and talking about different types of noise that interrupts a communication channel. And later on, we were tweeting each other about a specific type of noise, and a student reported out to me, "Hey, that would be cultural noise." I'm like, "All right, so I'm putting 2 points in the grade book for you." So being on Twitter will get you extra credit in my class.
That's great.
That's incredible. I remember 2008, my English professor, we got extra credit for getting on Twitter, and half the class was like, "No way!" Like, this sounds ridiculous, and then 2 years later, it's one of the biggest news outlets, you know, in the world. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah. It's not perfect, and it doesn't make us money.
Yeah, right.
There is no money in Twitter, as it turns out, unless you're driving traffic to a site where you can deliver ads. Right. It creates a brand. And again, when I was a student, we didn't think a great deal about branding, who we wanted to be, and how people thought of us. But it matters now.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, it does. Well, what about the journalism students today compared to the, you know, like I know I have friends who don't work on a college campus who don't see students that often. And I think millennials sort of get some criticism like, hey, you know, that we were better journalists in our day than they are now. But, you know, being around them and seeing how talented some of them are, a lot of them are, and how hard some of them work. But what's your take on that? You had not only a doctorate, but you had a career in journalism as well before this.
I'm thinking about people I went to school with back in the 80s here who are the morning anchor of the Fox affiliate in New Orleans. Jan Crawford, formerly a Crimson White editor, now for CBS. Christy Parsons, who was at the Chicago Tribune later on and asked the last question of President Obama at the last press conference. Right. And these are people who now are in their 50s. Reese Davis was in a class of mine a long time ago. Took him 4 steps to get to ESPN. But let's change that to the students that we know about from the last few years. One got out immediately and was at Time Magazine, Victor Lukerson.
Right.
One, within 18 months, was at the New York Times, Alan Blinder, on the front page last week after tons of coverage of the hurricane in Texas.
Right.
We've got other students who go straight out to magazines. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. Matt Ford is at BuzzFeed. Abby Crane is at the Wall Street Journal.
And that's pretty much their first gig, or very early. And that opportunity did not present itself necessarily 30 years ago. There was more of an apprenticeship to be served to be able to land those bigger jobs. So the opportunities for our best students are amazing.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? I mean, because it's where they land, it's where they're going from here, and a lot of the others want to work in Alabama at daily small dailies or weeklies or that kind of thing, or they have opportunities in broadcasting, digital media, a lot at AL.com, you know, doing that work, but the opportunities for them to go wherever they want, it's pretty incredible.
But there is less room for mistake.
Yeah.
The students who go straight out like that into the bigger time, the stakes are much, much higher. And mistakes they get, they make, and we all make mistakes, are amplified to an incredible deal. And, you know, when, and I'll pick on you, because back when the Crimson White in the 70s managed to put a naked woman on the front page of a Crimson White in the late 1970s.
Don't tell them that.
Well, no. But imagine if that happened today.
It
would be national news.
It would be.
Imagine Bear Bryant in the age of Twitter.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wrote amazing. A column when I was at the Crimson White. I wrote a Friday column just for giggles, and I was still covering sports for the Anniston Star when I was here. And Alabama was not having a good year. This was 1985, and we had lost two or three games in a row. And so I wrote this column on a Friday, just top of my head. So what would Bear Bryant tell us to do when we're in a slump? Well, what he would say was to go back to what you do best. And what is it at Alabama that we do best? And the answer is make fun of Auburn. And so the the rest of the column were just cheap shots at Auburn. And I had just broke – I had been dating an Auburn girl, made a huge mistake dating an Auburn PR major. And a huge mistake, because that is the antithesis of what I am, is an Auburn PR major. Opposites opposites almost attracted there. But, you know, we had gone our separate ways. I was not driving down to Auburn anymore to pick her up, to take her to Birmingham for an Amy Grant concert, to drive back down to Auburn to cover an Auburn-Maryland game the next day. Not doing that anymore.
Yeah, that's tough.
I hurt her feelings. We were leaving town, and she says to me, my car is broken, and they just can't get the parts for the Honda in Auburn. And I, of course, say, well, if it were a John Deere tractor.
Yeah.
I never saw her again after that.
Yeah.
Now, I found her on Facebook, and she's happily married, and her kids turned out beautiful. My insult was, I hope she has ugly kids after what she did to me. But even that's not true. They all are at Auburn, as it turns out. Yeah. Lovely people there.
Well, you know, Coach Bryant called at the Cal College. He did. But but he had respect, just like Coach Saban, he had respect for his opponents. So, hey, he won a lot more of those games with Auburn than he lost. And Auburn's a little, you know, it's not quite a Cal College these days. I was reminded Feinbaum, who we've had on this show before, was down at Auburn's campus for the SEC Network with Tim Cook, you know, the chairman of Apple, who's an Auburn grad and a very fine person. So, yeah, there's some pretty good people coming out of there sometimes.
Absolutely. I actually got a wedding gift, I think, from Doug Barfield. Because somehow Doug's the late Auburn coach. I think he's still alive.
I think so.
The former Auburn coach, he did not last well after Shug, because nobody lasted well after Bear either.
Right.
Hard to follow a tradition. I feel bad for the next guy after Saban, but that's another topic.
Right.
But somehow my wife was related to his wife in some way, so we got something. I don't know what it is, but thank you. If we haven't written the note, thank you, Mr. Barfield. It's been 28 years.
Yeah.
I'm sure the thank you note's in the mail.
Well, you know, better late than never, you know. I mean, hey, there we go. Hey, we may hear from him. If he is still alive, which we have to assume he is.
Fortunately, we'll find out.
Yeah, we do have Google, don't we? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Speaking of that, I mean, I long story really short, I met Shug when I was a student here, you know, and working for the Crimson White. And it was an event in Birmingham, and I went up to him afterward, trying still to be the objective student journalist, but also telling him I had an uncle who was a huge Auburn fan, went to Auburn, graduated, went into aerospace engineering, and was having a heart transplant at the time, really in Memphis, really difficult work. And he asked me, well, what hospital is he at? And I said, I didn't think, and, you know, he wrote it on a napkin, the hospital in Memphis. He never said another word to me about it. And then my uncle gets this Auburn football signed by every player. I mean, what a guy. I mean, I thought, ask him to do that. It was unbelievable.
There is a personal touch among many of these coaches.
There was.
It's hard to do it now simply because the stakes are so high and everybody wants a thing. My story is I had an hour in Ray Perkins' office working on a story for the Crimson White for a journalism class, along to Dr. Deaver's reporting class. He gave me an hour. which is absolutely amazing. And I understand that it's difficult to do that now, but back in the day, it was the access was much, much easier.
It was.
I tell my students, I have seen Bear Bryant in his underpants.
Not many people can say that.
Not many.
I think more than you know.
That's true.
Yeah,
he
was a boxer man, in case anybody's asking. We answer the questions people are asking. He was not a tidy-whitey guy.
I sat in that on that sofa a few times, actually, because, as you said, the access for student journalists was very good back then with coaches.
That's
and
incredible.
We could go over and interview him and sit on that sofa and just start sinking into the sofa and looking up. And he looked like John Wayne anyway. I mean, big stature and all that. And so the intimidation factor just goes up, you know. So anyway, well, look, we're going to take a quick break here. Dr. Roberts is going to be back with us in the next segment to help us pick some football games fearlessly. And so we'll see how he does compared to how we do, Andrew. I got a feeling he'll beat us, so we'll see. But
they usually do.
Yeah, I know. Let's take a short break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hey, this is Will Gamble, and you're listening to 90.7 The Capstone.
Hello and welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Dr. Chris Roberts is continuing to be with us here to help us choose some of these college football games, to pick some games very fearlessly. And I will just mention quickly that, you know, we do this every week, not only on the show, but we do Twitter picks. And Dr. George Brown, who was the head of University Recreation here and now has a similar post at University of Minnesota, still picks with us. He was our host the first year of this show, and George won the picks last week, Andrew, by
he did.
Like one or two. So
as he usually does, unfortunately.
I know he's very good at this stuff. You know, I don't know what his secret is, but he tends to beat us. But we're gonna get him. We'll get him this week.
Absolutely,
George. I hope you're listening. We're gonna get you. We're coming after you, man. Chris, it's great to have you here again, and you ready to pick some football games?
I am lousy at this. I did this one year for the Anniston Star for high school teams and was butt naked last. The only success I had was I picked Ohatchee over Piedmont when Piedmont was ranked number 3 in the state. Ohatchee won the game on 30 seconds left, an incredible pass, and I had picked Ohatchee because it was a typo in the paper.
Yeah.
Hey, it's a win in the book, right?
Yeah, it's a win. It's like the UCLA Texas A&M game. I had forgotten I had picked UCLA to win. I was pulling for A&M big time, and I watched that game. And I'm one of the few maybe who actually kept watching. My wife was saying, "Why are you still watching it? It's out of it's just not even a game." I kept watching it, and I was at the end when UCLA obviously that huge comeback. I thought I'd lost the pick. I thought I had convinced myself I'd picked. I just forgot I'd picked UCLA. It was a close pick either way, you know. But it was, but I won the pick and didn't even know it.
Well, it was a typo for me. But I got fan mail from married women in Ohatchee, and I was 21. So
that's the dream, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's I'm living the dream. Absolutely,
yeah, totally living the dream. All right, well, let's start off. Let's go in order here. Just to this morning's games. We got first FSU hosting Louisiana Monroe, and what do you guys think about that? FSU gonna be so depressed over that loss last week? They're gonna struggle here, or what do you think?
I know that sad and angry is a lethal combination when you're dating somebody. So I think Florida State is both of those things, and it will be no problem to run over Louisiana Monroe.
There we go.
Absolutely. The Warhawks don't have much for Florida State, even though they, you know, obviously Francois is out for the season, unfortunately. There's no amount of talent at Louisiana Monroe that can beat this Florida State team.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they're going to come out and probably good with a new quarterback to have a game like this so that they can get the reps for the new quarterback and get up to speed again. They do have a great defense, and I don't think La Monroe is going to score much on this team at all. So, anyway, going La Monroe. Also at 11 o'clock, we got Cincinnati at Michigan, and Harbaugh started off pretty well. The khaki lord of Ann Arbor.
Your guy, the khaki lord.
Had a pretty impressive win over Florida the other day.
They sure did. I'm going to I'm going to go Michigan over Cincinnati here. You know, a lot of people are picking Michigan to be in the Final Four. Cincinnati just doesn't have enough to go up there and win. First game in the Big House, 11 a.m., Michigan.
All right.
Another no-brainer, although I like the chili in Cincinnati.
Skyline guy or Gold Star?
I'm Skyline guy.
Yeah, I like Skyline.
There we go.
Hey, we're back on food. That's your
there you go. That's
topic.
Right. We need Starrett here to chime in on some
right.
snacks.
Absolutely. Okay, we got Louisville at UNC. This is a pretty good game. It's going to be interesting. North Carolina's hosting Louisville, and Louisville struggled a little bit against Purdue last week, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually going to go UNC here. You know, I really struggle picking Louisville. I do think Louisville's the stronger team, but UNC at home. I think Larry Fedora is going to have their guys rocking and rolling. Also, Louisville struggled a little bit, like I said, last week against Purdue. Jeff Brohm, former WKU Hilltopper head coach. So that was a pretty exciting game if you were switching over from the Alabama game at halftime like I was. But I think I'm going out on a limb here, picking UNC.
All right.
I have no idea, but I'll say Louisville because, well, I've had a Brown in Louisville before.
There you go.
There we go. That's that's as good a pick as any.
Absolutely.
But you know, I think I'm going to go with Andrew on this one.
Come on, Mark. Come on over.
Now I picked him last week and lost. You know, Cal beat him. So, but I'm going to hang with him, and I got confidence in him. I think it's going to be a close game. So I'm picking UNC because of the home field advantage, whatever that is. All right. Next up, Northwestern at Duke. The battle of two really good schools, not too good in football, perhaps, but. Although, you know, both of these teams actually have decent programs now. So, what do you think?
I'm taking Duke. I'm a big David Cutcliffe fan. His brand of football is not the most fun to watch, but he has shown that they can win games there. Northwestern struggled a little bit last week. It being at Duke, I think that gives them a little bit of an advantage. So,
tempted to make a mayonnaise joke, but Duke all the way.
All right. Let's go to Iowa at Iowa State. I said on the show last week, I've never understood why these two rivals play early in the season. I just don't quite get that. But who you guys got? Chris?
For the same reason that the Daytona 500, the most important race of the year, is played so early, I imagine.
Yep. right.
These are two hogs fighting over walnut, as far as I'm concerned. I just don't care. But honestly, I don't even know.
Right.
Nothing. We'll just say home team Iowa State. Who knows?
All right. There you go.
I'm going to go with Iowa. I'm with you, Chris. I really have no idea. Don't really care, but it's one to – hopefully it's another pick that'll bring up the winning percentage.
Yep. I'll do Iowa too, and the mighty Hawkeyes. I'll go with them.
Right.
Hey, this is next one. UAB. You know, they're back, and
they are.
So they got a game at Ball State. And who you guys got?
I'm going to take UAB. Although obviously this is their first season back after them canceling football, they still recruited well in the off season. They had a really good team before they canceled the program. I'm going UAB. Ball State, not much pumpkin there.
Right.
Well, they played Illinois pretty close, and I. For all the hoopla of UAB, and I'm glad they're back. They were not playing a great team last week, so I think the home team in beautiful Muncie.
I agree. I'm going to go Ball State. I think they have a good program, and at home, I think they're going to beat UAB.
Awesome. The 2:30 slot, Pittsburgh at Penn State. Chris, what are you thinking here?
Penn State will have no problem. I have a former student who is working on the athletic staff there in marketing, so we'll give her a shout out and a win.
Right. I'm going to go Penn State too. I think they got one of the best teams in the country. I think so. I'm going with them.
Awesome. Western Michigan.
Well, who are you picking?
Oh, I'm picking Penn State. Excuse me.
Uh-huh.
I got excited. I was ready to move on. Yeah, Penn State for sure.
Fabulous.
2:30 p.m. Western Michigan at Michigan State. Western Michigan is no longer rowing the boat. George Brown is leading them rowing the boat at Minnesota now. Who do you got, Chris?
It's much – you have the rule of you go for the school first, then something with state after it comes second, and finally anything on a compass comes third.
Right.
So under that rule, clearly Michigan State, the Spartans shouldn't have much problem.
Yeah, it's the pick version of PEMDAS,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
There we go.
That's exactly what you just
yeah.
did.
I'll tell you, that you guys are way ahead of me on this stuff. I'm going Michigan State too, I think.
Okay.
Although, you know, Western Michigan's got a good football team.
They do. And like I said, you know, the coach is no longer there, but the talent I'm sure still is. He's recruited well there, but Michigan State, always a solid football team for sure. Staying with the 2:30 games, we have TCU at Arkansas, a little Texas-Arkansas rivalry here. Pretty exciting. Mark, what are you thinking?
I'm going Arkansas. I think they've got it. They're going to have it rolling a little bit this year. They're not going to win the SEC West or anything, but I think Arkansas has got a pretty solid team, and it's a tough game though. But I'll go with the Razorbacks.
In my old newspaper days, we always enjoyed when the Horned Frogs got beat because you could write Arkansas Gigs Frogs. Yeah. Or when Rice got beat, it was Boyle's Rice. But in this case, I've got to go Arkansas.
Gotcha.
So I'll get to write that headline Sunday, perhaps.
Yeah. I'm actually going to go TCU, going to go against the grain here a little bit. I'm a big Gary Patterson guy. His teams are always well prepared, as we've seen in years past. And really just don't know much about this Arkansas team yet. We're experienced quarterback returning, but still going to go TCU. Staying with the 2:30 slot, we have Indiana, the Hoosiers at Virginia. Mark, what are you thinking about this game?
Well, the Hoosiers put up in the beginning for a half a good game against Ohio State. I'm going to go with the Hoosiers. This is a tough pick because Virginia is at home and they've got a decent program, but I'm going with Indiana.
Okay.
A former University of Alabama graduate is in charge of film for the Indiana football team, so I feel good about Indiana winning.
There we go.
Great.
Got it.
I really struggle with Indiana's quarterback wearing number 21. It's not a traditional quarterback number, but I still am going to pick them. That's really my only reason that I wouldn't pick them in this game for sure. So we have a 3:30 game. It's a pretty big matchup. Historically, two good teams going at it at 3:30. We have Nebraska at Oregon. Chris, what are your thoughts on Nebraska at Oregon?
I would have cared a whole lot more about 5 years ago.
Absolutely. 100%.
But I've always been a Nebraska fan, just straight-up corn-fed line boys, just run them over. Oregon throws the ball and has the great duck. Why not Nebraska? I know?
Why not us, huh?
All right. Well, I'm going with the Quacks. I'm going with the Ducks. I think they're not the Ducks of old, but they started out pretty good, I think, last week. So I'm going with Oregon, and especially at home.
I'm also going to go with Oregon. Another former Hilltopper head coach, Willie Taggart, making really his debut on the national stage this week against Nebraska, two historic programs within really different decades, different time periods going at it. Should be a pretty interesting game.
All right. Great. All right. Well, hey, look, let's take another quick break, and we'll be back with Dr. Roberts and the second segment of Picks here. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hey, I'm Paul Feinbaum. My favorite station in the world, 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Myself, Mark Mayfield, and we have Dr. Chris Roberts here with us, coming back for some more round two of some picks. Really, really big one here. One of the biggest marquee matchups of the weekend at 6 p.m. We have Auburn at Clemson. Really, really exciting game. Really two traditional good powerhouses. Dr. Roberts, give me your thoughts on this game.
Auburn versus Auburn at a lake.
That's exactly
where we are
here.
Right. I have a degree from South Carolina. I have degrees from Alabama, and so it's hard to care in some ways. It would be great for Alabama to play an undefeated Auburn for the Iron Bowl later on this year. I don't know if they can pull it off against Clemson, though. The gut tells me that the Tigers of Clemson will beat the Tigers of Auburn.
Yeah, this is we're going to find out how good the wheels are on the Gus Bus in this one. Because they better be fully inflated and ready to roll, because they got a huge test here with Clemson. I think Clemson's going to beat them by a couple of touchdowns.
Gotcha.
I think, you know, first of all, it is at home at Clemson. Actually, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes to three TDs. But we'll see. I'm not convinced Auburn's back from last year. I know there's a lot of hype about the quarterback and all that, and they had a good opener, but that wasn't a, you know, that wasn't a test. This is a test, and I think they're going to lose it fairly, not huge, but it's not going to be close.
Right. The similarities in these universities is always pretty astonishing, like you said. But I'm going Clemson. I think they still have – they're talented. They're well coached. Like you said, the Auburn bus, it needs to be gassed up, wheels fully inflated, and ready to go through some pretty tough terrain, because Clemson's still a very good football team coming off the national championship. So I'm going Clemson as well. Staying with the 6 p.m. time slot, we have South Carolina at Missouri, a little SEC East special. Pretty excited about this one.
Alma mater for – well, yeah. You got your doctorate.
I do.
In South Carolina.
Got Gamecock in the house.
I hung out with the Missouri quarterbacks coach years ago, right before they joined the SEC. My brother runs a game show company. We were doing the game show for the Independence Bowl, and I was telling him, yeah, Missouri playing these other teams, but you come to Tuscaloosa and 102,000 people and all the fan stuff, and it'll be a thing.
Yeah.
He is not coaching there anymore, nor is the other coach. And I would like – and meanwhile, South Carolina has the chicken curse, but I'd like to think South Carolina could go in there and pull it off. Missouri did not look good early against Missouri State last week.
Right. Yeah, Missouri's defense is not even on the field. I think they got a real problem with that. South Carolina surprised me last week. You know,
they looked good.
They did. They looked good, and I think they're a pretty solid team. Maybe this is the year that Muschamp has them rolling. I'm gonna pick the Gamecocks.
I'm also gonna go the Gamecocks. Muschamp, like I said, he had a lot of success in year two at Florida. Looking like he's going to have some success, at least maybe this weekend against Missouri.
Right. Huge one in Columbus with Oklahoma at Ohio State. Last year, Ohio State went out to Oklahoma and just let them have it. I mean, that was a rout. But this is a different year. Baker Mayfield's back, my namesake.
That's right, your boy.
Pretty good guy there, you know. And what do you guys think? Andrew, what do you think about that one?
I'm going to go – I really think Oklahoma has got a sour taste in their mouth from last year. Baker Mayfield starting his seventh year at the University of Oklahoma. A lot of experience. Mark, I don't know how you keep him there, keep putting him through school.
A lot of money, let me tell you, even with his scholarship.
Right. Honestly, this is a really tough pick, but I'm going to pick Oklahoma for sure.
All right. Chris?
Ohio State is just too powerful, particularly playing at home. Yeah. I don't see Oklahoma having a whole lot of success there.
All right. Well, I tell you, I'm gonna go with Mr. Deer here. I think Oklahoma is it is a revenge game for them. The thing that gives me pause is Ohio State is, of course, a strong program. Obviously, it's a home game for them. But I think Oklahoma's going in there with a mission. I do think Baker Mayfield's going to have a really good day. I think they pull it off. I think I'm going with Oklahoma on this one. We'll see.
Nice.
Yeah.
Today was 6:30 p.m. We have Georgia and Notre Dame. This is a pretty exciting game. Georgia going up to South Bend. Always fun to see two teams that are traditionally good at football that usually don't play each other play. So, Chris, who do you think?
I have no idea.
That's right.
I didn't know they were playing until I sat down today.
There you go. You're not the first one on this radio show to have no idea.
Absolutely. Right,
somebody, right, of course.
Right.
Somebody wherever you are, yell out SEC, SEC, and we'll go ahead and say Georgia and feel good about that.
There you go.
All right. I'm going Georgia, too. I think, they did lose their starting quarterback, Eason, last week, but the kid who came in, they said, played even better.
Right.
And I think with the running backs at Georgia, I think they're going to really test Notre Dame, and I think they get out of South Bend with a close win, is the way I'm looking at it.
I agree. SEC, like you said, Chris, going with Georgia, so for sure. Also, 6:30 p.m., we have Mississippi State at Louisiana Tech, a little SEC Conference USA matchup. Mark, what are you thinking here?
Going Mississippi State. They started off well. Who knows how they're going to do here. LaTeX always got a good offense, and they're at home. Interesting, this is a home game. It's not a you know, the La Tech would come here, but Bama wouldn't go to La Tech.
Exactly. Yeah, it's interesting.
But the Raging Cajuns, I think Mississippi State goes in there and wins it.
Okay, I tend to agree. I think the Bulldogs are going to go in and take care of La Tech. They've been good the past couple of years, but Mississippi State too strong.
Be a huge upset, but I think Mississippi State will go in there and win.
Well, Andrew, this next one, your alma mater, my friend, the Hilltoppers, and the team that I always can never pick correctly.
Do the right thing, Mark.
I know,
do
which, right which means today. Not choose the right. If I choose them, they're going to lose. Okay, who you got?
I think I'm hoping that, you know, WKU is going to go in there and beat Illinois. We are a 6.5-point favorite, which is a lot, if you ask me. But, you know, we returned a lot of starters, and we've got a, you know, pretty strong crew coming back. So, definitely Hilltoppers.
Yep. Chris?
I spent the night at the home of the Hilltoppers over the spring. I have a picture of a squirrel I took and sent it to the @squirrelsofUA.
Was it a white squirrel?
No, it was not.
Okay.
No. But
we're known for white squirrels.
Oh,
fun,
really?
Fun fact. Yeah.
I missed
wow.
that. But, yeah, the Squirrels of UA Twitter account and I, we trade tweets, and he was impressed by the Western Kentucky squirrel.
Yeah.
So we'll go ahead and go with the Hilltopper
there
for
you
the
go.
Squirrels.
Nice.
Andrew, I really hate to do this to you.
Oh,
friend.
Come on, Mark.
I remember one last year you tweeted at me once, like, don't bring that evil down on my
team.
But I'm going to have to choose them. I think they're going to win this game, which means they're probably going to lose. This is a team I cannot pick for the life of me, but let's hope the rare occasion that I pick Western Kentucky right. I think the Hilltoppers win.
I sure hope so. 7:30 p.m. we have Stanford at USC. Always a pretty the past 10 years has been pretty exciting matchup. Mark, what are you thinking on this game?
This is a really huge football game, and USC struggled in the first half last week when they weren't supposed to, but they really blew out that game in the second half. Sam Darnold is probably the best quarterback in America, or in terms of a, sort of a pure pro drop back passer and all that, and he's the real deal. But I'm going with Stanford in this game. I think Stanford has the more complete team. I think their offensive line is going to take control of this game. They had a really great start in their first game that was played overseas, if you remember. And I think they go in, and this is going to be a really close football game.
Stanford did indeed boil rice last week, if that means anything. It was 62-7. Right. Yeah, it was fun to watch that game in Australia, and I think it may be fun to watch Stanford beat the Trojans.
Yeah, I'm going Stanford as well. USC's got a lot of hype to them, but Stanford, always a well-coached team. They're definitely going to win this game in my eyes. So.
Yep. All right, we got one that George Brown at UM up there is interested in. But, George, in our market here, as you well know, there's not a whole lot of people down here interested in this Minnesota at Oregon State game. Who you guys got in this one?
I think we're going to row the boat against Oregon State.
Yep.
Oregon State's no problem for you.
Right. All right, Minnesota will go out there and they'll win this game. So
there you go.
I think the Golden Gophers or Goldie Gopher will be celebrating out there. So we'll see how it goes. A late night game, Utah at BYU, a big rivalry game there, and should be a good one. Who you guys got?
I'm taking the Utes at BYU. Big rivalry, late night, going to be pretty exciting.
Yep.
I'm not going to watch. I'm going to be honest. I'm probably not going to watch that game.
I won't be watching it, no.
I spend a lot of time in Salt Lake working with a colleague on a book and have been to both stadiums. And I'm thinking BYU is going to be wanting to beat this team
all
at
right.
home.
That's great.
Well, I'm going with the Utes.
There you go.
And just reminds me of the movie. You know, what did you say, Utes? I think my cousin Vinny. I'm going with my cousin Vinny, and I'm going with the Utes in this one. And I think they'll win it.
A couple more late night games, 9:30 p.m. We have Boise State at Washington State, the crazy pirate, versus Boise State. Who do y'all think?
I'm with the pirate in this one because it's at Washington State. They're going to fling that ball around as they always do. I don't know how much defense they're going to have, but because it is a home game, I'm going with the pirate in Washington State.
I've never understood how the Boise State players can play on green grass. I think that'll affect their game against Washington State as much as I know about anything. We'll go with the state on that one from Washington.
I'm also going Leach as well. Leach and his bunch. Houston at Arizona. What do you think, Chris?
I think a lot of distractions for the Houston team the past couple of weeks.
Right.
And on the road at Arizona, I think the Arizona's going to be the winners in that one.
Yeah, you're right. That's interesting because Houston's got a lot more to worry about those players than football right now.
Right.
That town's still devastated. The best thing you could say about that is they get to leave town and get away from it for a little while and go out to Arizona. And it could actually inspire Houston to win for their for the people back home. Right. But I'm going with the Wildcats in this one, and I'm going with Arizona.
I'm also going with the Wildcats. 10 p.m. Our last matchup of the night, the last taste before the NFL starts. We have San Diego State at Arizona State. I'm going to go ahead and take my pick. I'm going to go Arizona State at home.
Yeah, I think this is a hard one to pick because San Diego State's always a good football team. Some people mix them up with San Jose State's the team, not that good. San Diego State's a good football team, and I would say on a neutral field, I would pick San Diego State in this game, but because Arizona State's not that good right now, but I will, I'm still going to go with Arizona State in this one.
Either of you been to San Diego?
I have not.
Yeah. Yes.
They got four seasons there: summer, next summer, last summer, and this summer.
Right, right.
Why would you do anything like play football when you can do other nicer things in San Diego?
Right.
Arizona State is who I'd pick anyway.
For sure.
Yeah.
To be honest, this is a game that I just don't know much about. Arizona State, Sun Devils, going to take the victory.
I'm assuming it's a game you're not going to be watching.
10 p.m.
On a Saturday.
Lord
night.
Only knows what I'm going to be in. I'm probably going to be watching an SEC East game.
Yeah, I may be watching.
Of some sort.
Tonight I might be watching a movie at that time. I don't know.
Right.
We'll see. But hey, look, we've held back our pick on Bama and Fresno State till the next segment. We'll bring that in. But some big games today.
But you've missed one here. We've got Jacksonville State at Georgia Tech.
There we go.
Ooh.
I'm required under Calhoun County law to talk about this game.
bring it to us.
For our listeners, Dr. Robert spent 2 years at Jacksonville State.
I am from Jacksonville.
4 years at Bama.
Big
and
C,
then,
little O-C-K-S.
It's fabulous.
And right. I would love to see the Gamecocks come in there and pull that off.
Yeah.
When we start talking in the next segment about why Alabama is playing who it plays on Saturday,
right.
Part of that is because Jacksonville State can come in there and almost beat Auburn,
That's
certainly
true.
Beat Ole Miss a couple of years ago.
No doubt.
So you just love to see the Gamecocks pull that off. They may not be able to, but, you know, just for old time's sake.
You're right. That Auburn game, I was pulling for Jack State.
Yeah,
that was
2 years ago, opening game, right?
That's
they
correct.
Should have
yeah.
won that game.
Absolutely.
I think it was a punt or something that got shanked, and although they shouldn't have, as I recall, they should have gone for it, not punting or something like that in the end. We're going to come right back. We got a huge game here at Bryant-Denny Stadium today, and we're going to make our pick on that one and talk about the Crimson Tide and also review that game last week a little bit. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Mayor Walt Maddox, and you're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Big game today. First home game of the 2017 football season. Really, really exciting stuff. There's a buzz around campus. Yesterday, Friday yesterday, it was really, really exciting to be on campus. Today, more people are flowing in. So we're really excited to have the game against Fresno State. The Bulldogs are coming in here. Dr. Roberts, give us your initial thoughts on the game and the excitement of the first home game.
I didn't even know they were the Bulldogs.
Yeah, fun fact.
Well, it's one of those things you think you would know when the football team you should care the most about is playing, which gets to the larger idea. I understand the need to schedule teams like this sometimes. We have a lot of them on the schedule, and I get that as well. Played an incredible game last week in a national setting. as we were talking during the break, you know, Auburn and South Carolina are pretty good about scheduling in-state teams to keep some of the money in-state. Right. Having said that, South Carolina lost to the Citadel a couple of years ago. Maybe it goes back to when Alabama played UAB in basketball for the first time decades ago and got beat.
Right.
And the athletic department doesn't seem to want to play a lot of in-state unless they really have to.
Right.
Having said that, wonderful to have football here. Students are so excited. There's a palpable difference between the fall and the winter sessions here because having football here.
No doubt. No doubt. And, you know, Mark, myself, and Adam always talk about the buzz around campus, and it truly is buzzing today.
It is.
With our first game. So, Mark, what are your thoughts? What are your,
I think we're all going to agree who's going to win this game.
Absolutely. But, pick today.
Yeah,
for sure.
I think the key here, I want to see Tua, throwing that football around. I want to see some of the backups really getting some playing time. If things go as they should in a game like this, the backups will get a lot of playing time. One thing about Saban and this program is they don't take anybody lightly. They tend to play pretty well in these games, and I think they'll come out and get a pretty big lead into the at the end of the first half, and they'll be able to play a lot of people.
Most certainly. I think this is a good game. After a tough weekend, last weekend preparing all offseason, this is a good game to get back square, work on form, work on everything that you need to work on in the offseason. It's really a good game going into the rest of the season, get some backups, really show you how much depth that Alabama has. So it's pretty exciting stuff.
Yep. It's fun to see Coach Saban scream louder in games like this.
Yeah.
He coaches these things up, and it's a whole lot more fun to watch in the second half because of his antics on the sidelines trying to get these guys ready for their careers.
That's true. He really looks at these backups if they're not out there giving it 100%. On one level, he will not run up a score if it's already out of hand. He'll play conservatively, but if he sees anybody not giving everything they got, you're right. It might as well be an SEC game to him because he's the same in all of these games. But also, though, the Bulldogs scored 66 points last week against Incarnate Word University. I guess that's University.
Up-and-coming football powerhouse, Incarnate Word.
Right.
Bulldogs also, I think, only won one game last year. Doesn't seem like a lot of talent return this year.
Well, the question is, do you guys think they'll score in this game?
I think at least a field goal's coming.
I don't think so.
There we go. Could be a shutout.
Unless there is a long pass that goes somehow flippant in the second half against the secondary, which continues to be my concern about the Alabama team.
Right. My thing is 60 minutes is a long game. At some point, you're going to – maybe.
Right.
At some point, you're going to find yourself in the red area or, at least a long field goal try or a turnover or something like that. So, 60 minutes is a long game.
It's tough to do a shutout.
Right.
But you're right. They might get a field goal out of it. I don't know how good their field goal kicker is.
He's a college kicker, so probably not very good.
Yeah.
You talking about our guy?
No, their guys.
Okay.
We know our guys need a little work, although I will say that I think J.K. Scott, I would have liked to have seen him kicking out there. I did go to one of the scrimmages. I won't talk about what I saw. It's like it was closed practice. But I think J.K. can kick some field goals.
Yeah.
And it would have been nice. Papanastas, the new kicker, is still young. And I think Bama's going to be fine in the kicking game in terms of place kicking as we go forward.
J.K. cut his hair. He got a number change. He's really rebranded this offseason, so it should be exciting to see.
He can do anything.
He can. He's a stud.
He can punt, obviously, we know. But he can also kick. He can place kick pretty well. So we'll see. So anyway, big game starts at 2:30 out there this afternoon, and the first home game of the year. So the campus is buzzing, and it's fun to have football back here.
Absolutely.
Well, I think that's Chris. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll talk about you on the air next week as to how you did against our picks.
It will not be good. It will not be good.
Yeah, the good thing, we'll talk about you, and you won't have any. You won't be able to defend yourself, so it'll be fine.
Well, the best thing about being a faculty member is at 5 o'clock they start towing your car on a Friday.
There we go. I know.
Got to get the best job I've had.
Yep, got to get out of there. Absolutely. Well, look, that's going to do it for this week's Skybox. Adam Sterrett will be back with us next week. And everybody be safe today going to the games wherever you're going or wherever you are. And join us back here on the radio next week. Thanks to Terry Siggers, the GM of this station, who's producing this show for us as well. And we'll see you again next week. You've been listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.